let's get started. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this weekend to Nevada Backcountry. We've got a special guest in the studio. Before we get to that, Dave, you heard the show last weekend,
yes,
or weekend before last.
Correct.
It was the wrong show.
Yeah, the show.
Is that what you were telling me?
Yeah, with the computer glitch that you had last week, unable to edit the show.
The Hunter one,
Hunter Morai episodes. You had to...
Yeah, I put a rerun in there, but the rerun I thought I put in there, without getting way into the weeds on radio stuff, it's still mostly black magic to me, but somehow we record in Reno. Magically, it goes through the airwaves to Carson City. Then it goes up to a peak, and then it gets broadcast out. But somewhere in that whole journey, the episode that was supposed to air didn't, and it was just like a repeat of...
the previous weeks.
Yeah, so anyway, sorry about that. Any other housekeeping stuff?
No, I don't think so. I think we're pretty clear on that. Will, the Chucker forecast is out. Most of you probably received emails on it, possibly.
That's right, yeah.
So eventually we will address that. Yeah, so that'll be pretty cool. We've gone through it. Henry and I have kind of gone through it and really analyzed it, and we'll go through it. But first, dun-dun.
Featured guest.
Featured guest.
No more special guest. Featured guest in the studio, Aspen Morai. Aspen, thank you for taking the time. Thanks for sitting down.
Thanks for having me on.
For those that don't know, Aspen is Hunter Morai's sister, Sage Morai's sister. Dalton, I don't know Dalton's last name. I know he's kind of like an adopted older brother, right?
Yeah, Dalton Frank.
Yeah, so you got some big shoes to fill in your family. A lot of bow hunters, a lot of very good bow hunters.
I'd say she did a pretty darn good job of filling those shoes and probably overflowing them a little bit this year.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
That's, I'll tell the story real quick.
Yeah.
I sent Dave a text because I was sitting there on my own unsuccessful deer hunt, and I was scrolling through Instagram. I probably should have been hunting, but I saw a picture from Ace in the Hole Archery, which your brother owns.
Yes.
They posted your deer, and I was looking at it, and I went, holy smokes, that's a good deer, and I clicked on your username. That took me to your page. I opened it up, and there was a phenomenal elk, like shortly after the deer. So that's why you're on the show. I thought, holy smokes, let's get her on the show. That and my wife, who's in the other room right now, said you guys need to get more women on the show because otherwise it's just...
two grumpy old men.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
Yeah.
So lousy Aspen, kids. Let's start with how'd you get into hunting growing up?
Well, I grew up, I'm the youngest of three, which my two older brothers, Hunter and Sage, everybody grew up hunting, and I was always following their footsteps. I always wanted to be just like my brothers, no matter what it was.
Yeah. And that was, you grew up in Fallon, right?
Yeah.
So what was your home, Stillwaters? It's kind of what you ran wild in?
Yeah, we kind of, my dad hunted a little bit of everything, so we explored a lot of Nevada.
Okay, nice. So that's hunting. What about how bow hunting, of all things, why bow hunting?
I can't even tell you when I was younger, like, I don't even remember starting out with a gun. I remember starting out with a bow because by the time I was able to put in for tags in Nevada, my brothers were already archery hunting, and I was like, I want to be like them.
There you've got two of the probably some of the best shooters in the state right now with Hunter and Sage, that's for sure. So did you learn from them? Did the two of them kind of coach you along, or did you just pick up a bow and stand next to them and just start ripping them out there?
Well, my dad got us all into the archery game. He is the one that has kind of grown up. He kind of taught himself and then started taking us to bow shoots. And
nice. That's
so that was it competitive first? The like shooting 3D and stuff?
It was more when I was younger, it was more like for fun. We'd just go as a family and go to these bow shoots. And I was like, oh, this is so fun. And it just became.
And just kind of stuck with you.
Yeah.
What are you shooting now, bow setup wise?
I am shooting a Matthews V3X.
Got all of you.
Yeah.
Hunter was the same. Yeah.
Yeah, Hunter's V3. Yeah.
They are
it's a good
awesome.
Bow. It's a good bow. There's no doubt about it. It is a good bow.
Well, talk us through. That's your hunting setup. What are you running on there? This was supposed to be the softball where you loosen up and just start talking. You're not supposed to freeze up on this, Aspen.
The Black Eagle Rampages are the arrows that I'm shooting.
Okay.
I'm shooting a fixed broadhead.
Say slick trick. Say slick trick.
No.
Don't. That's my favorite.
The Quad Expedis.
Exodus or something?
Okay. So I'm shooting those.
Nice. What poundage are you shooting?
I got to 60 this year.
Awesome.
I think my wife is...
I don't even know if Henry's at 60.
No, yet. I'm still at 55. What are you, 28-inch draw length?
I think I'm at 29, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's...
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, cool.
So 60 pounds, 29-inch draw length.
Yep.
So you could shoot a butter knife and get a pass through, basically.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hunter doesn't think so. He was like, you have to be at 65 before your bull. There's no way.
Yeah, I think you're
I'm
fine.
I'm not kidding.
Well,
there.
I think you proved him wrong this year.
Yeah.
I would say you proved him wrong.
60 was the goal. We wanted to make sure I was at 60 to make sure it was
and comfortable
clean.
At 60. Yeah. You know, proficient at 60. Yeah.
Are you running the Quivalizer like your brother?
No, I am not running the.
Oh, you're not?
I forgot. He switched.
Yeah,
so I have just the Matthews.
Just the regular Matthews
quiver, side quiver on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I've been seeing more and more of those Quivalizers showing up at shoots and stuff. I don't know if I'm there yet, but it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. And they're
a hunting bow.
They're really cool. The kicker is going into the competitions and stuff with NFAA and USA Archery. If you're using those, it throws you straight into the freestyle division, which, unless you're shooting the outlaw. Unless you're shooting the outlaw division.
Okay.
And outlaws shoot with what you hunt. So the Quivalizers are legal in the
But got to have arrows in them, right? You can't just have the empty thing on there and be wearing a hip quiver.
I'm not sure on the outlaw regs.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure on that, but I know that's the one division you can still shoot the Quivalizer without it being considered freestyle and still be considered bow hunter. So,
gotcha.
Anyway,
sorry for the sidebar.
We're all jabberjohn. Yeah. So you went to Fallon High School.
Yes.
And now you are at UNR.
Yes.
And you are studying?
Business management.
Business management. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure.
You're
going to
take over Ace in the Hole?
No.
No.
Okay. He's just a sponsor.
He's just, that works great.
He can sponsor me.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you were following in the engineering world.
He's the smart one.
Let's talk about target stuff. You shooting indoor coming up?
You're strictly a bow hunter, bow huntress.
No, I'll shoot if I'm in Fallon, if I'm around, I'll go down and shoot their indoor over the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Summertime. I go to quite a few shoots. I can fall into bow hunter freestyle or outlaw because I have a slider on my bow.
Yeah.
But I like have been shooting bow hunter freestyle for as long as I can remember. And we just switched my slider. So I usually just tape my slider and
or pull the
stack.
Wheel off of it or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you like the slider? So I just put a slider on one of my hunting bows and I am just not sure how much I like it yet.
Is it a single pin slider?
It's a three pin slider.
Okay.
So I use the center pin as my as my slider pin.
Okay.
I guess that just growing up with having all my pins laid out there and knowing that 20, 30, 40.
I'd say it kind of depends on your own personal preference. I think the slider can definitely be beneficial. I have a 5-pin slider.
Let's take a break real quick. Don't forget, if you miss a segment of the show, you can go to the podcast tab at 991fmtalk.com. Or if you're an Apple user, go to the podcast app and search for Nevada Backcountry. Get all your accessories for off-roading at Truck Envy. They're a sponsor of the show. Great group of guys over there. Let's hop right back into it.
Maybe that's what I should go to, is the five pinner.
The five pin I like because I've always shot five pins. Yeah. So I still have the same thing, but say there's a monster buck standing out there at 65 yards, I'm going to want to be as accurate as possible. So sliding is beneficial, but like this year, I took my first shot on the elk and he went about 30 yards and stood there. He was about 75 yards and I had to get a shot off quick. I didn't have time to slide. I just had a stack. So I'm in a perfect position where I've learned to stack so well that I can also do that. But if I'm able to, I'm going to slide. But I only slide if my shot is past 60 yards. So like if it's standing out there at 45 yards, I'm not going to slide. I'm
That makes sense. Yeah. I'm in the fixed five pin camp still. I have that black gold, whatever the heck it is. It's a five pin slider that I shot for, you know, like 3D stuff. But as
you use that in Reading.
No. I shot.
Oh, you shot the Excel in Reading.
Yeah, no, I shot the big boy stuff.
The big boy stuff.
What is it? The freestyle? Is it freestyle? I shot freestyle in Reading. But I was going to say, it's like a recurring theme on the show. Like, I just break stuff nonstop. All the time. In fact, the PSE is back at Hunting House with a cracked limb right now.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I just break stuff. So
that's why when we shoot together, I always take like three steps further away so I don't get like zonal destruction thing.
Yep.
Like maybe he's got like an orb around him. Yeah.
It's bad, man. I finished that deer hunt with a duct tape wrapped around my limb because that's just how I roll. But back to the sight thing, I have learned the one thing that stands up to Henry levels of abuse is a spot hog. It's on like the bar.
Yeah, the seven deadly pins.
No, but it's only got five in them.
Oh, the boss hog?
Is that what it? Yeah, boss hog. But that thing, I could hammer in a tent stake and it would still work.
Yeah.
So I wasn't quite there with the slider yet this year. I'm like you guys, I stack.
Yeah, I might do what she has. And because I think the three pin thing's throwing me off. I think I should take it to
it's
a five. But when you're hunting, are you a pin specific hunter or are you a gapper? You're guessing the animal at, say, between 30 and 40 yards. You're going to put your 30 on him, your 40 on him, and maybe squeeze your 50 on the belly, just kind of gap it. Like, well, I know he's within that this range. All my pins are on him and in the zone, and I'm going to let it rip.
To be honest, most of my kills, I'm like, I don't even know what I held.
Yeah.
Because you're So I would probably say pin, I hope. The right pins on him and
you black out and shoot. Yeah, 100%.
She can hear her brothers in her ears, like telling her what to do. And she's like, sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. The way those two hunt.
No kidding. Yeah. Let's get to your season now. Start with the deer hunt.
Okay.
Unit 7, I think Hunter said.
Yeah.
Okay. So take us through that. Was that a buck you had picked out or was that a just random, oh, look at this thing. Let's go.
So last year, I was able to hunt the same unit, and me and my dad both took pretty nice bucks out of there last year. So we were hoping we'd have kind of the same numbers, like see similar bucks. There were quite a few bucks in there, and we got up this year, and there was nothing.
Okay.
A tough year.
Seven had a really hard winter.
Right.
So they had a pretty big die-off, and me, my dad, my boyfriend, and my uncle were the only ones that were going to be able to be there opening day. So, but we had a crew coming up. We had 5-6 tags in there. And I was like, I'm just kind of willing to go after anything due to I have an elk tag in a few weeks. And
people
were going to be focused on that. And I was like, I'll just try to get mine out of the way and help everybody else. And opening morning, we spotted these bucks. And they kind of fed over the hill, but went back to where they came from. And we just bounced around the mountain, picked them up again. And I was like, yeah, I'll go after them. There was a decent 4-point and then my buck and then a few smaller bucks. And they were bedded down and I was like, it's worth a shot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. What else are you going to do, right?
Yeah, and so we snuck in there, and it was
Opening morning, game over. Where'd you shoot it?
He stood up, quartered to me, and I sent it right down the throat.
Perfect. Oh, what yardage?
Nice.
He was 53 yards.
I passed on a 40, almost 50-yard frontal. I apparently should have taken it. Hindsight being what it is, good for you for taking the shot.
That is awesome.
It's funny because my dad is always like, don't pass up opportunities. Like, has hounded us with that. Like, you're going to learn something from every opportunity you take. And I started out and I was like, horn hunter, I want a nice buck, and quickly learned that it's more about the success of killing. And so last year I got an opportunity almost in the exact spot that I shot mine buck in this year.
That buck last year was no slouch either.
Yeah.
That was a good deer.
But he was, this buck that I missed was a very similar to my last year's buck, but it was a 4x5 and it had a kicker.
Oh, okay.
And I loved him.
Oh, God.
And it was identical scenario. He stood up, quartered to me about 40 yards, and I was so nervous that I missed. And I knew right when I shot, I was like, oh, that wasn't a good shot. And I missed. And this year, I was like, I just knew. I was like, this is redemption. Like, now I know I got to stay calm. And when that buck stands up, just, and it was identical scenario. So I'm always have my dad in my ear. Take the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's why you practice.
Yeah.
So you can have those kinds of shots. A lot of people will frown on that, those frontals, but if you know the anatomy well enough and you're comfortable and proficient enough in your shot and shot placement,
might as well take it.
And they're such great shots. If you do get them anywhere in that probably Folgers can size target, which, you know, all of us should be able to hit a Folgers can size target. 50 yards.
Yeah.
Well, I'd hope.
You can.
Some days.
You can. I mean, you've got major arteries there.
Where they all come together there. Oh, I mean, you put a broadhead through that. It's like turn on a fire hose.
Yeah, that's just absolute magic. And then it's an open door to the rest of its body, and it just cleans the pipes.
Yeah, he went about 40 yards and went ass over.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And that's how you want it.
Yeah. Like,
it,
you want to see them drop.
I can't handle like chasing them, seeing them.
Oh, yeah.
Wounded.
Yeah.
That kills me. So clean shots are.
Yeah.
40 yards, ass over tea kettle. He's dead.
Yeah.
You were the first one to tag out in the group.
Yeah.
Who came up with the caption for the photo?
Well, originally it was my boyfriend's, kind of his idea, which is ironic. And then,
have you seen the caption on the photo?
No, I'm very interested.
Don't give it away. Make Dave go look. But who can? So your boyfriend came up with that.
Yeah, and then Sage just tweaked it a little bit.
Okay, yeah, that got a lot of chuckles around. My wife loved that. She was like, "That's awesome." Yeah, you're looking at it, Dave.
Well, I'm trying to. The kicker is just.
Okay, so you're the first to tag out. Did you stay out there for the rest of the hunts, or did you boogie back to town?
No, I stayed out there.
Stayed out and helped. Yeah. Who, I think Hunter said he was the only one that didn't?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody else pulled pretty nice deer?
No.
No. Okay. That went sideways on me.
Okay.
Yeah. I killed the biggest, but we had two first-time archery hunters out there that were there for opportunity.
So if it's legal, it's going down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a blast getting to get those kids on bucks, because first time, you know, the first time buck, you cannot.
They both got it taken care of. One arrow, two arrows?
One arrow. All of us made like phenomenal shots. 40 yards, they were all dead. And it was.
So I firmly believe, man, if you're the first up and you smoke something, arrow goes right where it should. It's like the next person does it. The next person does it.
Yeah.
Then it just carries on throughout the rest of the hunt. So good for you for setting the standard and setting the energy.
It was pretty funny because we were watching the bucks kind of, they were still kind of feeding, kind of just waiting for them to settle down, make a game plan. We weren't really in any rush. And Hunter texted me and said, are you guys seeing anything? Because we had been up there a few days and like nothing. I said, yeah, we're on a group of bucks. And he said, what's the biggest? And just being a smart
typical guy,
I texted him back and said, you'll see in a minute, because my game plan in my head was like, oh, I'm going to go shoot this buck and send him a picture. Well, I was like, it won't work out like that. And it sure did. Yeah. I sent him back a picture and he's like, nice.
Yeah. Hey, cue the music. We got to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Coming up after the break, we'll hop right back into it.
On 99.1 and Lyon County's 92.3 FM Talk.
Thanks to Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight, for sponsoring the show today. Let's hop right back into it. So deer hunt done. You stayed out there. Everybody except Hunter goes home happy.
Yeah.
What was your turnaround time-wise before your elk tag started?
I believe 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So you went home, regrouped?
Yeah. And I went out. So I was out for my elk tag. I think I left Fallon Monday, so I was out there. I had a week after my deer hunt to get.
What unit for the elk?
Cherry Creeks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Dalton help out on that?
Oh, they, all of them.
All of them helped out. Yeah, okay.
They were.
So talk me through the elk hunt.
How many points did you have real quick?
Oh, yeah.
How many points did you?
I want to say I was going on 10.
All right.
Okay.
That's good. You talk to anybody, and I've been like dying to draw this tag. The last 2 years, we were like, you're in it. You're in the money, and I didn't draw it, and I was like.
Yeah. I've been telling my son that for the last 3 years. I think he has now blocked me on everything, and he's no longer accepting my phone calls because he now has, I think, 12 points.
I thought he drew this year, Dave.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't draw a bull elk.
And
we're putting in for roughly the same area,
that
whole area. And I thought, no, this year's your year. This year's your year. He gets them all hyped up, and then it doesn't happen. And so I got to shut my mouth.
Hey, points-wise, let me pick your everyman hunter in Nevada, or every woman hunter in Nevada. What do you think about the change to the point system with elk?
With?
Successful, unsuccessful.
Oh, personally?
Yes.
It's probably going to be better.
Okay.
I mean, I hope they continue to change things because elk have been doing really good. But as we saw with the deer, our deer were doing really great and they just kept giving more tags. And now deer numbers are awful. So I'm hoping they don't make that same mistake with elk. And it sucks. But
the argument I make for it, and Dave's heard this before, but you encourage people to kill satellite bulls instead of holding out for bigger, older age class. Because it used to be, what was it, Dave? It was 5 and 10? So unsuccessful, you had 5-year waiting period.
Yeah.
Successful, you had a 10-year waiting period.
Correct.
Now it's 10 and 10.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So I don't know. I'm kind of come down on the side of you're encouraging people to shoot smaller age class or like satellite bulls versus taking a herd bull.
Well, to at least, you know, the last 2 or 3 days, at least acquire, you know, shoot something.
Right.
So you're going home with some meat.
Instead of, because you're going to wait 10 years regardless.
Exactly.
Versus they used to incentivize hold out for a bigger, older age class bull.
Yeah.
So I don't, that's,
I had several friends that did that. I go out on their hunts and they'd like, no, I'll just wait the 5 years and I can start putting in again. I'm not going to shoot anything.
Right.
So, but I am glad that there is the spike hunt and
that's a good point.
Know,
yeah.
Too, because who's going to draw a bull tag and shoot a spike? Like nobody.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of raghorns out there. There's a lot of spikes.
Stuff that needs to die.
Well, just, I mean, you need to thin that out, too. You start having them start being the breeders, and then people are going to be like, well, you know, Nevada doesn't have anything better than a 320.
Yeah, that's a good, all right.
So, yeah.
All right, good point.
Yeah, but no, I do like the 10 and 10, no matter what, 10 and 10.
Yeah, it's hard.
I do
like
it, yeah.
Tag-wise, it's stressful.
Yeah.
Super stressful, but.
Yeah, but it does encourage you to like, okay,
you got to put your time in. Like, you don't just draw a tag and go out
show
there
up
and
opening
hope to
morning.
Find, well, I should take a step back because my brothers are awesome.
I
so I kind of do.
I was going to say, you have an entourage of like awesome hunters,
Yep.
Guides, shooters, the whole nine yards. You literally have everything at your disposal, and they're called family.
Yeah. Oh. There's a pedigree with your last name where everybody knows, like, these people are killers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with your older brothers, for sure, you might show up and just get it done on day one.
Right.
It just worked out for Sage, though, this year because they launched their guiding business.
Right.
Yeah. And he had lots of tags booked in 12, so he's like, I'm going to be in here. So,
yeah,
it worked out. I was very fortunate. Yeah.
And so, right now, he's living in Ely, right?
Yeah.
Doing a lot. Him and Dalton doing a lot of watching critters.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good home base. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Ely,
yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff out there.
So talk through the hunt. You come back, you reset for a week. You go out, you're in the unit for a week before the tag opens. Had Dalton found that bull for you? Or again, same scenario as the deer. Did it just pop up and you went, hey, I'm going for that?
So actually there were about 50 or so bulls hanging out in the area we were looking at.
50?
All summer. And then
by the
time I got there, there were still about 25. The smaller bulls were heading out. Which is pretty early. And me and Sage were the only ones up there, which was nice, calm before the storm.
Yeah.
And we picked out three. There was a bigger bull in there, but we picked out three that was a go the first day. Like, if they give me the opportunity, we're going to go for it.
Yeah.
And it was chaos because we had so many people coming up where we were at. The bulls are like right there. We can't have any noise. We're right on top of them and they're all day just feeding through this one little canyon and people start rolling in. It gets chaotic. We got dogs. We got just a mess. And Sage is like, it'll all work out. And I'm like, no, this is stressing me out.
This is bad.
Yeah. And everybody wants to be there for the action, you know? And Sage is like, I can't really send anybody anywhere because the bulls are right here. They're all going to want to be with you. So everybody stayed up on top. We set up a camp the day before opener and sent everybody to camp. And then me and Sage kept staying up on top just to keep eyes on them because we knew a few days they were going to be headed out.
Oh, so were they talking?
You guys set a spike camp. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And they were talking, you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had the whole unbranded crew and then my boyfriend and his brother were up on top the night before opener. So we got up the next morning and the bigger bull was about 600 yards from us. Like
from camp?
Yeah. Right where we stayed. It wasn't camp, but it was.
Yeah, your spike camp. Yeah.
Yeah. Where we were camped out for. And
now why can I ask, like, did Sage pick the camp? Because man, waking up 600 yards from bulls, because when elk spook, I mean, they'll go a county, they'll go a mountain range away. Why was that? Just like, that's where spike camp was, it was the easiest? Or why pick a spot so close to where the action was?
Well, that wasn't our main camp. Our main camp was a ways away, but to get to both sides of the mountain range after these bulls started heading out of this canyon, we wanted to be able to hit both sides pretty easy to pick them up.
Okay.
So we kind of set up a main camp between the two, but we knew those bulls were still in there, so we didn't want to miss them headed out. Stayed up there with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would have been ideal if we didn't have so many people, but it worked out. I can't complain.
Oh, man.
So now the actual hunt, like, you wake up, the big bull, 600 yards. Yeah. Is the big bull the one you killed?
No.
Oh, okay. So talk through the hunt.
There's a bigger bull out there.
Yeah. Okay. So we get up. Bulls have been screaming all night. Like, it is super cool. Me and Sage called in two smaller bulls right into the truck the day before, and I'm like, this is insane. So we get up, the bull's out there, and Sage is like, let's go. And I'm like, no, we got to settle down. And I'm not the expert, but I was like, we kind of got to just take a chill pill. We got a lot going on. I don't want to rush it. And he's like, let's go. So we throw our packs on, and we start headed down a little draw. But we're so close that we don't have much much space to move. And all the dogs chase us down. And you just see everyone, every single bull on the mountain start running across.
Why were there dogs out there?
Because they shouldn't have
been. Never mind. Source. We don't have to go into it.
Well, one of them was mine. And
Aspen, why was your dog out there?
We were waiting for my parents to get there to keep them at camp.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I couldn't leave her at camp.
Okay.
So my fault. It was my dog. So that takes a little pressure off. But we finally get them like in their boxes and stuff. And I was like, this is going to be a mess. And all the bulls went to like the very top of the mountain for like, okay, so we kind of just settled in. A few stayed up on top all day and stayed on the bulls. And then we ran back to camp, regrouped, got some food, and then we ran back out. We got stuck going back up the mountain. So we were sitting on the mountain, and I was like, in my head, I was like, watch, we're going to get up there, and they're going to be like, oh, the bull's right there. You should go. After we had a hike up to them. And
let's stop right there. I hear the music playing. We're getting played off stage, so we'll take a quick break and be right back. Thanks to Out West Buildings for sponsoring the show today. Let's hop right back into it.
So we get up there and Dalton's like, this bull is in a really good spot. He's by himself. The bigger bull had stayed with other bulls the whole time. And this bull, I was like, I loved him. When I first saw him, I was like, the Royals. I was just
Yeah, the mass, and it's got that little curve too. Yeah, yeah.
I loved him. And so
awesome bull.
We're like, we'll just sneak down there, call a little bit, and if he doesn't want anything to do it with it, we'll back out. So we kind of fell off, me, Sage, and then Ridge, my boyfriend. We got set up where we thought he was going to feed into, called a little bit. Bulls are screaming, but the smaller bulls are more interested. So we kind of fell off, and Dalton is talking to Sage on the walkie-talkie, and he's like, he set us up in a different spot, thinking he'd come there. Well, he didn't, but he's... So we're kind of lower, but there's this little hill, just a little knob, and the bull was, he was feeding up the trees, and then when Sage called, he kind of just turned our way, but wasn't interested, wasn't going to come to us.
Cow calling or bugling?
Cow calling.
Okay.
And Dalt's like, I'll tell you where he is, and you guys can just peek over that knob and see what you want to do. Well, me and Sage kind of roll over. It's like just a little tiny knob, and we get up, and he's 90 yards away from us, but there's nothing on this knob. It's just open. The only thing we have is one green bush between us and the bull.
Belly crawling time?
Yeah, and I was like, this is not a good idea. If he walks a foot to the right or a foot to the left, we're going to be in the open for him to see us. And I did not want to blow any more bulls out of there. So I listened to Sage, though. I trust Sage, like, in all aspects of hunting. He is just phenomenal. And so he's like, once we get to that bush, we'll be about 60 yards. And I was like, okay, sounds great. But that bush is a long way. Yeah. That's a long way to crawl. So we start crawling, and he just has me go forward. And we're going as slow as we possibly can. And every time that bull lifts his head up, Dalton would be like, stop, go, stop. Go. So we're just listening to Dalton, and we finally get up to the green bush, and everybody on the hill thinks we're touching him. They're like,
oh, yeah.
You looked like you were touching him the whole time.
Oh, always does. Yeah.
They're like, yeah. Why isn't she shooting? Like, freaking out. And so we finally get to this green bush, and I knew the bull was close. I could kind of see him in the bush. Like, I can hear this bull snorting. I'm like,
the heart rate
nervous.
Starts going. Yeah.
And so I was just trying to stay calm. And we get to the green bush, and I'm expecting this bull to be 60 yards. Well, he steps out at 25 yards, and I'm like,
bingo.
He is right there, broadside, just beautiful. And I'm like,
How did he go from 60 to 25? He came to you?
He started.
Well, you guys were
started working.
So when we were, he was working. You guys were like squeezing an Oreo.
And it worked out perfect because I'm like, if we were like 5 minutes later, that bull would have already, it just
he would have been out,
out
of the bush.
Yep.
Yeah. So he steps out and Sage is getting a range on him, which I should have been drawn back. Like I knew he was close enough. And
at that distance, all five pins should be like.
Yeah.
Right on the chest. Yeah.
So I sat up, as you guys probably seen the video. I came up. Well, I drew after I sat up.
I have not seen the video, full disclosure.
Yeah, okay,
I just saw the picture. Okay,
I have not seen it, yeah. We'll have to put it on the on our page.
Yeah, it's not the shot everybody expects, but I came up and I drew. When I drew, he saw me, and he kind of bounced off. I lost all motor skills, and I held, when Sage told me 25, I held that 20 on him the whole way, and he was probably 40, 45 yards, and I let one rip, which I should not have taken the shot, but it hit the artery in the ass. And
perfect.
Yeah.
I'd rather be lucky than good.
Yeah, me too, 100%. And
yeah.
With all the horror stories with bulls, I'm like, it honestly probably worked out better that way. But this bull...
How far did he go?
So you hit the femoral artery coming off his butt, his hind end?
So I went through the right butt cheek and went through the other butt cheek, and it hit that.
His artery on the other side.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
And so Sage, the only thing he told me not to do before we went on this hunt is wait till the bull stops moving. Do not take a shot if the bull is walking, whatever. He said, I want a clean shot. Well, it's about 7:30. Sun's going down. I take the shot. Sage is like panic mode.
Yeah.
And I'm over here.
What did you do?
So you shot while the bull was still moving.
Yeah.
Still
he's walking
away
from us. And he was just about to stop.
You don't know that at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking. And
yeah. But it all worked out.
He kind
luckily.
Of flipped. Bingo. When I shot him, he flipped and went about 30 yards and was at 75. And I'm over here in La La Land. And Sage is like, get another arrow, freaking out. And I get another arrow out. I have to stack. I shoot. And from the look, what we saw, it went in, but it went in that back hip. And it like went, the penetration was like this much.
Oh, yeah.
Like, bad shot. Didn't get anything. So we don't know. Sage is like not happy. He's in panic mode, which is Sage's, he's phenomenal with that. He's like, he always keeps you in the game. I probably would have been like, just sitting
throw your
down.
Hat and walk away, yeah. Start crying. Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
always in the game. Like, we didn't know. And he's like, this is not over. Like,
oh,
get it
yeah,
together.
No. Yeah.
So my boyfriend was about.
Ridge was on the ridge?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just checking.
Ridge was probably 50 yards behind us and he videoed it all. And he came up and he's like, you got him in the ass. Like, all pumped. And Sage is still like,
there's a lot of meat back there to, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know. And we knew we had so many eyes on the mountain that they saw him go in the trees. And he didn't go very far, so that was a good sign. He goes in the trees and he's like just wobbling. So they're like, it looks good. And we see a lot of blood coming out of him. So we're like, okay, that's
perfect.
Good.
Yeah.
But Sage is still like, yeah. Don't get anxious.
Little
we
encouraging
get
for you, but panic mode for Sage, which makes sense. I mean,
no, for sure. Yeah. He was like, we got to get this bull dead. I can't have a wounded bull out here. So we kind of waited a little bit. They said they watched him fall. He went a little ways and fell over. While this is all happening, we had called in a really nice 6-point. He was probably a 340s bull. But he's standing 60 yards from us the whole time.
Okay.
And we're like.
Did you know that?
Yeah. He's right by us. And
you're hunting the other one.
Yeah. He's standing there while we shoot both times. And he stays there. And he's just looking for cows. And so we're like, this is nuts. And we finally spook him, and he goes trotting through the trees. Well, he ran right over where we saw my bull fall.
And that would be my concern, too, is they're going to see, he's going to spook and bump a wounded bull, and now you're going,
Man, now you got a 4-mile hike ahead.
Exactly,
of you.
So he ran right over my bull, and nothing, no movement. So Sage is like, okay, we're going to sneak in, like, just be ready.
Right.
And as we're sneaking through, it's thick. trees and stuff.
Like Quakies?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the end of my arrow collected a bunch of stuff on the end. Leaves, and this bull whips his head up at 40 yards, stands up, and Sage is like, shoot, shoot, while I'm trying to get everything off my arrow. And he goes, he like just came around the trees. So I have like an opening. I didn't have much room of the vitals with just trees all around it. And so I shot and hit a branch, and Sage and me, Dalton's trying to guide us in on this bull. And by this point, we know he's really hurt.
If he's fallen down, yeah, he's not having a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His bed was just full of blood. So Dalton's trying to guide us in, and we walked like back through the other side of the creek. The bull's laying in the trees, and I have a 20-yard shot. You can just see the vitals. And you just hear Dalton on the walkie-talkie, Sage, please answer me. Sage, I need you to talk to me, because we're not talking to him when we're
right,
going back.
Right,
he
right,
thinks
right.
we're going somewhere else.
Right.
And Sage is like, we're on the bull. And so I put another one in him, and he died right there.
Boom. Okay.
No, I just want to say thank you so much for coming out and sitting with us and telling us your story. It's always awesome having a female hunter come in and give us their opinion. You know, years and years ago, it was considered just a
male
guy
sport,
thing,
you know,
but it's really cool to see.
I'll say, as a father to two daughters who both shoot the JOAD program and shoot archery, to see their faces light up when they see pictures of you know, women like you with animals. Before we wrap up, if people want to follow you on Instagram, Facebook, whatever social media platforms you got, why don't you plug that stuff?
Instagram is Mori, M-O-R-I underscore 08.
Thank you, and have a great Sunday.